All right, take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Thank you, guys. Good harmony. I'm glad God let us hear harmony. Wouldn't the world be a bad place if all of us sang the same tune? And I appreciate that song. We'll get right into it tonight. Genesis chapter 22, a very familiar story in our Bible. And we'll look at it tonight and nothing new, but just a review. All right, so Genesis chapter 22, we'll look at verse 1 through 14 if you'll read there solidly with me. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Verse 2 says, And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. Verse 3 says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning." That must have been tough. Rising up early in the morning, knowing you're going to sacrifice your son, was faith. "And saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Father, I'm going to run away from this place." That's not what he said, is it? "Said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said something prophetic, didn't he? Verse 8, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there." By the way, this wasn't the first time Abraham had ever built an altar. He built one in chapter 21 there in Beersheba. But notice what happened. It says in verse 9 again, he says, "And it came to the place, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." By the way, if that would have been me, the angel would have only had to say my name one time. But Abraham meant what he was doing. And we know that in Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham had enough faith to believe that if he had slain his son, he said he had enough faith to know that God would raise him up again. That took faith. And by the way, if that was me and you with our son upon the altar, I don't know about you, but whenever I had that knife raised, I'd be looking around. Nobody would have to say, "Hey, there's a ram caught in a thicket behind you," because I'm already looking. Amen. Right? I mean, you think about that. If I was to lay Brody on an altar and God said, "I want you to slay him," which God would never do that again. But you draw that knife, I'm telling you, I'm looking, "All right, God, where's the lamb? You're going to provide a lamb. Where is it at?" But notice Abraham didn't do that. He was focused on the task that God had given him. That takes faith. Amen. Abraham was a man of faith. Notice what he says in verse 12. And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad." Whew, hallelujah. "Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And as to said to this day, in the mount the Lord it shall be seen. Let's pray, and then we'll preach upon the subject of tonight of true worship. Father, we thank you for the night. We thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I certainly need your power and your presence. And Lord, I don't want to say anything of my own self, but Lord, all that you would have me say, Lord, may I say it. And Lord, may we have receivers here today that would receive your word with gladness. And Lord, not just hearers only, but doers of your word. And Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would have reign here tonight in liberty. And Lord, I just ask you to use us in a mighty way. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. There's always a word that stuck out to me, and it's in verse 5. And of course, we understand that it is the word worship. He said, "Let us go and worship." It is the first mention of the word worship in the Bible. And if you, in studying your Bible, there are some laws that you go by in how to study your Bible. And one of the laws of studying your Bible is the law of first mention. In other words, that if you're looking at a word or a statement, you go back and you see when it was first mentioned and what it meant then and how it travels through the Bible. The word worship is so widely used today in such a vast just a knowledge of people that use it and don't even really understand what the word worship means. And so tonight we'll go and we'll look at the law of first mention and see what Abraham is talking about worship here. Now you'll notice that he says in verse 2, he says, take thy son, thine only son. You say, wait a minute, didn't he have another son by Hagar, Ishmael? Yeah, he did. But if you look at, and matter of fact, you might want to write this down, Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 through 24 tells us that Hagar is a picture of the Old Testament and Sarah is a picture of the New Testament. And if you look at it deeper, it shows us that Hagar was a picture of the law and Sarah was a picture of grace. Because what God had given Sarah when she was 90 was grace. Sarah found grace in the eyes of the Lord to conceive this child in her old age. And so we look at this, and it's a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. But I want us to get this in our mind that Isaac was a child of grace, but he was also what is considered in Galatians the promised child. The seed of Christ is coming through the lineage of Isaac. And so I believe with all my heart, Abraham understood that through Isaac, that the Messiah would come. And so he understood that if he took his son and laid him upon the altar, that God himself would raise him up again, or God himself would provide himself a lamb. That's good faith. Now what if I told you, all right, we're all going down to Walmart, and I want you to get two buggies of groceries, pull up on that cash register and wait on the Lord, and he's going to pay for it. It'd be tough to do, wouldn't it? You know what? But this is what Abraham did. Abraham just trusted the Lord and did what the Lord said. And so when you go down through here, you'll notice that the word worship in this passage, it sets the stage for what true worship is all throughout the Bible. And so as we look at Abraham and how he worshiped God, is it still how we must worship today? And I'll tell you, yes, God is still looking for men and women and boys and girls who will give of themselves to worship Him with their faces bowed to the earth and showing our gratitude to Him and showing the worth of Christ in worship. The word worship here means this. It means to bow down, to prostrate oneself, or to ascribe worth to. Let me say that one again. To ascribe worth to, or it simply means devotion. What is your worth of your worship? What is the worth of your worship? By the way, when we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, let me ask you this. What part of the service is worship for you? A lot of times we think this part of the service is worship, but can I tell you, this part of the service is not worship necessarily. Worship starts whenever you open that hymn book and you begin to sing to an almighty God. And it breaks my heart to see people that don't have their hymn open and don't have their mouth open. Because you know why? Because I'm seeing people that are missing an opportunity to worship a holy and mighty God. It's not the time to talk and write letters and text people. It's time to open our hymn books and our hearts and our mouth and sing unto Him who is great and mighty and give Him worship from us. That's why I love these old hymns, because they are the truth and they're steadfast in the doctrine. And we sing those as if there's nobody else but just me and God. And I'm singing a song to Him. Worship. What is the second way that we worship? Here's the one we don't like. It's when them offering plates are jingling around. And we put that money in. That's worshiping. You're ascribing worth to Him. But the sad thing is most people don't participate in that either. They miss the second part of worship. And then what's the third part of worship on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night? It's when we give this altar call. When we give the altar call, by the way, the altar calls are not just for lost people. A lot of people say, I don't want to go down to that altar call. They know I'm guilty. Well, if we all come down here, we all know we're all guilty of something. There's nobody here perfect. There's none good, no, not one. So all of us have a place here at the altar, at our seats. Some people are physically not able to come down. But I'm saying we miss opportunities on Sunday. We say, hey, I'm going to church for the worship service. But we miss the worship. We didn't open our hymn books. We didn't give anything in the offering. And when the invitation was given, we sat there and go, well, I'm glad so-and-so went down there. Because they sure needed that. I'm going to pray for them. Lord, I see Brother Tim down there at the altar. And Lord, I know he needs to be down there. I mean, that's what we do. That's not worship. We're missing the opportunities we have. Just because you show up to church doesn't mean you're worshiping. Just because you raise your hand or just because you feel good, that's not worship, my friends. Worship is us getting on our face and saying, God, you're greater than all. And God, I'm ascribing the worth to you. And Lord, I just want to lay myself upon the altar of sacrifice. He's worthy. He's worthy of our worship. Let me give you four things tonight. I give them to you very quickly. Four things about worship, and we see them here in our story. Number one, we see the steadfastness to worship. The steadfastness to worship. Notice verse 2, if you will. You say, what do you mean? Notice verse 2. It says, and here's what God said to Abraham. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. He sets the stage. This is your son of promise, the only begotten, the son of promise. He said, whom thou lovest. God says, I want you to take the very thing that you love. Now notice what he says to him. And get thee in the land of Moriah and offer him there. It ain't like God held back what he was going to ask him to do to Isaac. God told him up front, I want you to offer him up. God didn't hide it from him. By the way, it's easy to go into something when you really don't know what's going on. But sometimes when you know what you're getting into, it's a little harder. When God says, I want you to go out and I want you to give all your money, hey, listen, that's harder if you just say, hey, God, I'm just yours and whatever you want me to do. And then you go by faith, knowing that God will take care of what He's asked you to do. Now, notice what He said. Into the land of Moriah and offer Him there for a burnt offering. His son, a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He didn't tell him exactly what mountain to go to. He said, I'll tell you that later. He says, but I want you to take your son whom you love. And I want you to lay him upon there. And by the way, there was two parts of this sacrifice that are main parts. Number one, he would have had to kill him. Number two, he'd had to burn him. I can't imagine. I don't even like my kids to get burned on the stove. Could you imagine having to set fire to your own son? I'm telling you what, this is what God asked him to do. And can I say that we see the steadfastness of Abraham, that he did not waver from this? Just because, by the way, God's going to ask you to worship in some ways in your life that may not seem right or may not make sense to you, but I'm going to tell you what, God's calling us all to a place of worship, and we must be steadfast in worshiping Him. Hey, it's easy to worship God when everything's going good, right? Boy, God, thank you for that new car you just gave me. I'm going to worship you. Lord, my car's broke down on 35. I'm not going to worship you. It's hard. By the way, the hardest thing you'll ever do is worship God when things are not going what you would call good. Sometimes, by the way, the first thing that was said there, he said that he was going to test or tempt Abraham. By the way, there's no testimony without a test. And Abraham had a mighty testimony. But he also had mighty tests in his life that God brought him through. By the way, it's who we are when things are going good is not who we are. Who we are when things are going wrong, that's who we are. That's who our true character, that's what our true character is. And that's when our true worship is seen by God. Hey, it's easy to worship God when things are going well and the money's coming in and the car is going well and the kids are acting right, but everything starts to fall down. And the first thing that the devil wants to take away from you, if he can't take your salvation away, he'll just take away your worship. He don't like us ascribing worth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be steadfast in your worship. Don't let situations dictate how you worship Him. Now listen to me. I don't understand what all of you are going through here tonight. I don't. Some of you are going through hard times. Some of you are going through trials. I don't understand it. But I do understand what the Bible says is that we're to worship Him in season, out of season, so to speak. We're to worship Him when things are going well and when things are not going well. Just be steadfast in it. Just be steadfast in your worship to Him. He had already been worshiping the Lord in chapter 21, there in verse 33. He built an altar and he offered sacrifices to Him there and worshiped the Lord there. But let me give you the second thing. There's a surrender to worship. Verse 3. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Now listen to me. I don't know about you, but if God would have said, Michael Williams, I want you to take Brody, your only son, and I want you to take and make him a burnt offering. Here's what Michael Williams would do. First of all, I'd say, Lord, are you sure? Not one time do you ever see Abraham question God. But here's what I would have thought of, because I'm pretty slick. I would have left the wood at the house. Do-do-do. Oh, man, we forgot the wood. I guess we can't sacrifice you today. By the way, he didn't have matches back then and a torch. They carried the fire with them. Isn't it amazing that Abraham took everything that he needed for this sacrifice, 3 days' journey? That's amazing to me. He was not only steadfast, but he surrendered to worship the Lord. By the way, when you worship God, you have to surrender your will and you have to surrender your life to Him and submit your life and say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about You. Abraham submitted himself or surrendered himself to the Lord when he said, Lord, I don't understand this and Lord, it doesn't make sense right now, but I trust You. Lord, You've given me a promise that You would bless me and bless my seed. And Lord, I'm just going to rely upon Your promises. I'm going to go. Sometimes that's the way worship is. You just surrender yourself to Him and let Him do the work. By the way, if God makes a promise, God will keep His promise. And if God breaks His promise, He's not God. And guess what? He's never going to break His promise. Surrender to worship, verse 3. Notice Abraham didn't give excuses. He didn't halt. He didn't delay. He got up and he went. Number 3, we see a separation of in worship. Separate. Now, that's verse 5, if you will. Something amazing happens here. There has to be a separation in our worship. Now, notice what happens. He says, and Abraham said unto the young men, he said, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad would go yonder and do what? And worship. By the way, if you're going to want to worship, you're going to have to leave the world behind. Notice that Abraham, he told his young men and he told to stay with the livestock. He said, I want y'all to stay here because we've got to get apart from this. The Scripture many times tells us to go into our secret place, into our closets and pray and just find a place that we can worship God. You know what church is? This is where we can just get away from the world for a little while and just say, you know what, Lord, I just want to get with You. Lord, I just want to hear from You. I want to worship You tonight. I want to fall on my face and just bow myself to You and worship You tonight. That's good. Whew. By the way, it's hard to worship when you're worldly. It's hard to worship when you got to come out from among them. You got to come out away from the world and get. Pastor says this every Sunday morning. We come here to worship, right? That's what he says. Every Sunday morning we come to worship. We come to set aside all the things that happen before church and all the things that may happen after church. And we just want to get along with God. Hey, listen, we need that refuge place. But listen to me, church is not the only place we worship. I used to sing with a group many, many years ago, a family group. And this was before I knew any better. And I played drums for them. And proud of that. And I was the drummer and singer. You ever try to play drums and sing at the same time? That was back when I was in shape. I could breathe. But I was listening to one of our tapes, cassettes, the other day. And I remember that family group, and the man's going on to be with the Lord. But, boy, we'd go into a church, and they'd go anywhere. And this, I said this before I knew any better. They'd go into any church. Boy, he'd get in there, he'd shout her down, hallelujah, run aisles and all this. Then he wouldn't go to church. If he didn't have a singing, he'd stay at home. And he lived a really worldly life. You see, that's false worship. That's not worship. Just because you go into church and you raise your hands and you sing and all this, that's not worship. People think, boy, if I can sing the loudest, if I can raise my hands, if I can jump the loudest or the tallest, loudest too. When I jump, you hear it. yeah. But it's like, who can make the most commotion at church? They're the greatest worshiper. I've been into churches where they run laps around church and they're like, woo, we're worshiping the Lord. I'm pretty sure that's not worshiping the Lord. That's confusing the people that are there. And it's distracting me. I've seen them where they pick up kids and run around the auditorium. I've seen one guy, as a matter of fact, we can name a name here. He would run the pews, and he missed one time and fell. Boom. Now today he's a country music singer. So was his worship real? It was a show. Real worship is when it's just you and God. By the way, there's times I worship, and this is how I worship. On my knees before Him. And just ascribing the worth to Him. You see, we've gotten the wrong thing. We think, oh, He's the worship leader. I hate when people call me the worship leader. I'm not the worship leader. That means I'm the pep rally. Couldn't think of a word there. You add to anything, it's a person. And I'm thinking, I'm not the worship leader. I'm just the song director. I'm just a peon up here. Hey God, we shouldn't need somebody to pep us up and somebody to say, hey, we need to worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. That shouldn't be what it is. It should be our desire to worship Him. I shouldn't have to get you up here and go, everybody jump up. Well, that's just an exercise program. You think Jesus looks down at most churches and goes, oh man, look at them hopping around in there. They must really love me. Or do you think He looks over there at the other church when they're on their face and they're crying out to Him? And that's worship. Amen. Brother Hardy said, I don't know if he said it here or at another meeting I was at with him. He said, if somebody was to look into the windows of a normal Baptist church, and then if they went to a mosque and found those people which would lay a carpet out and lay prostrate before their God, which one would somebody who is lost say the ones that are worshiping? Isn't that amazing? Our worship to the Lord. We must be separated from the world. We got to come out from it and just get along with God. And then the last thing tonight about worship, the sacrifice of worship. Verses 5 through 10 tells us what Abraham was willing to do for his worshiping the Lord. We should be willing to sacrifice things in our life. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's time that you spend doing something else and you say, no, I'm going to pull away from the world and I just want to spend some time with the Lord and worshiping Him. By the way, some of the greatest worshiping experiences I've ever had has been in my vehicle. Whoo, glory. People think I was crazy. I was driving to North Texas one time to go preach a meeting, and I was listening to music and sermons, and boy, God just got a hold of my heart. I'm telling you, just begin to work in my heart, and you know, you think how just great He is to us. Man, I just started thinking how great He was. I was going down there going, whew, whew, whew. I was just going, Lord, You're good. And I looked beside me on the 4-lane highway, and they were looking at me. I waved at them, and I went back to worshiping God. And they were probably thinking, he's having a seizure. Man, I'm telling you, I just realized how great God was. I mean, you know, you have those moments where it just overwhelms you, where that God is so good. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm so undeserving of You. God, I'm so undeserving to be in Your ministry, and God, to be one of Your children. And Lord, whenever I think of me, when I think of me and I think of how great You are, Lord, it just makes me want to worship You. Lord, it makes me want to fall down and say, thank You. I think about the 10 lepers in the book of Matthew. 10 lepers, one of the worst diseases you could have at that time, the pus sores running off of them, and all of these things that were just nasty. They were the outcasts. They couldn't come in the city. They couldn't come in contact with people. And Jesus heals them. Jesus touches their body and makes them whole. And yet only one of them came back to worship Him and to say thank You. How sad. If you take that as a statistic, that means only 10% of people are going to be thankful for what Jesus did to them and for them. God, help us to be that greater percentile. And knowing that sometimes it's going to take sacrifice to worship the Lord. By the way, I understand the Bible tells in John that they that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and truth today. God's not asking us to take our kids and to put them on an altar anymore. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. But the Lord is asking us, as Romans chapter 12, verse 20 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now I want you to notice this, which is your reasonable service. By the way, look up that word service. You know what that word service means? Worship. Look it up. It means, which is your reasonable worship. Isn't that amazing? That God wants us just to sacrifice ourselves, to lay ourselves on that altar and say, God, I am unworthy and you are worthy. And Lord, I want to give you praise and I want to worship you. And He says that when we sacrifice ourselves by the mercies of God, is that He said that is our reasonable, meaning that is the very minimum worship we can do. When's the last time you just said, Lord? Now be careful when you do this. You better mean it. But Lord, here am I. Lord, I just offer myself before you. If you want to use me, fine. Lord, I'm available. But Lord, I just want to come before you and worship you. And God may ask of you to sacrifice something in your life. God may ask you to sacrifice something you love in your life. By the way, wouldn't it be good if we just love God more in our hobbies? Wouldn't it be better to love the Lord than to love the things of this world? If any man love this world, love of Father is not in him. You got to separate yourself from this world and come apart, and you're going to have to sacrifice some time. You're going to have to maybe sacrifice some things just to get along with God and say, Lord, I want to worship you. Why is He worthy to be worshipped? Because He bought you. He paid for you. He died for you. He is worthy of our worship. May we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let me ask you tonight, are you devoted to Him? And what is the worth that you ascribe to Him? Folks, I wish I could tell you that every day in my life I've ascribed worth to God in every aspect of my life, but I'm here to say I haven't. I fail just like everybody else does. I find myself worshiping other things more than I do God. It is a conscious effort every day of your life. Listen to me, young people. You always preach to y'all, but some of these, they already passed the age of this. But if you start young, realizing what true worship is, it's not what you see on TV. I promise you. It's what you see in the Bible. Go with the first law mentioned in the Bible when worship was ascribed to a place of sacrifice. God's wanting you to come and say, you know what, I'm not worthy, but you are. Here's how we could tell. Tonight, we're not going to watch the Super Bowl. We're going to stay in here the rest of the night and just worship Him. See what I'm saying? Things get us, don't us? By the way, things are not bad as long as they're in their place. Right? As long as they're in their place, hallelujah. By the way, you worship the Lord in a deer stand somewhere. By the way, that's a good place to get along with the Lord. Last time I was in a deer stand, Brother Donnie, me and Brody was in there together worshiping the Lord with five cows and two donkeys. You know what? Just make a place in your everyday life just to stop and realize who He is. Let's stand tonight. His bowed eyes closed. Musicians come. I'll pray and then we'll sing hymn 534. Father, we come to You tonight realizing, Lord, we all lack in the area of worship. And Lord, help us to find true worship. Lord, we understand worship is not cheap. It's going to cost something. It's going to cost us our time and, Lord, whatever You may call upon us to do. But Lord, maybe we'd be willing as Abraham was. Lord, tonight I just pray, God, as we would fall on our knees and before You and make a place of worship and, Lord, just offer ourselves before You on the altar tonight. And God, asking that You'd use us in a mighty way. Lord, again, thank You for being so good to us. And Lord, we worship You and we praise You tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 534, we'll sing Cleanse Me as Brother Tim goes ahead.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Altar doors open tonight.